Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. It's been another exciting week. Many things are happening. Tonight's show is going to be a little bit different, however. I could talk about the things that are, you know, at the top of the list that have been occurring on television, radio, and newspapers, magazines, and that's the election. The election, the presidential election. We could talk about Hillary Clinton, who announced Sunday. We could talk about Rubio, who announced yesterday. Cruz, who announced about 10 days ago. Governor Christie, Chris Christie, he was in New Hampshire today, though he hasn't announced yet. But I'm going to tell you something. I, who am a political freak, no one loves politics more than me. I can't stand the thought that I got to listen to this garbage that I'm hearing today and yesterday, et cetera, because the media is into this big time. For 18 months, we are 575 days or 18 months from Election Day. We're going to hear this every day for 18 months. I'm not going to bore you with it tonight. Instead, I'm going to talk about some things you should be aware of, you may be aware of. Let's see. First thing I'm going to talk about is Social Security and how it's being misused in Puerto Rico. But before I get to that, I want to show you how Social Security is being abused by our own government. I am sick and tired of hearing from the Republicans that we must cut Social Security. It is killing us. I mean, we're in so much debt in this country, and one of the reasons is Social Security. Those who, it's their money, our money. I'm almost 80 years old. We put the money in, but it's wrong that we're taking it out. And they want to cut benefits. They want to cut Medicare that is paid out of Social Security. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong, and I'm going to tell you why it's wrong. The United States owes many countries and many entities money. That's why our debt's so large. Do you know who the United States owes the most money to? Not China. We only owe China $1.3 trillion. The United States owes the Social Security account $1.7 trillion. Social Security is the biggest creditor of the United States. Now, how does this all come to pass, and how does this all play in to the garbage we're hearing from the Republicans constantly? They got to cut Social Security. Back in Lyndon Johnson's days, he said, you know, he says, because Social Security always takes in more than it pays out. Even now, even last year, Social Security took in more money than it paid out. Fact of life. He says, you know, we got all this money that's built up in the Social Security accounts. And he says, we got to put it to use. I've got a war I'm fighting in Vietnam. I'm trying to help the poor, which he did with all his civil rights legislation. He says, I need money. And so he came up with a scheme with Congress and everything else, and they approved this. They passed this and gave the government of the United States permission to take the money that wasn't being used, which was a lot of money every year, because it always takes in more than it spends, and give it to the United States. Loan it to the government. They loaned it. The only trouble is they didn't give a promissory note for it so that it had to be paid back. Social Security could sue the government. No, under the law that Congress approved, the government only has to give an IOU, which has no legal bearing or significance in a court of law. So technically, the United States government has no obligation to pay back Social Security. They've never paid back a penny to Social Security. They keep taking money out of Social Security every year, and it ends up they owe Social Security $1.7 trillion. I've been talking about this for 5 years, and I talk about it because many people are unaware. Most people are unaware. And what bothers me, I am willing to bet, Democrat and Republicans alike, 95% of our congressmen today are not even aware that this money is owed Social Security and how it all came to pass. And they're all saying, we've got to cut Social Security. We've got to save money. It's bankrupting the country, which is a crock. Which now brings me to Puerto Rico. Although I love Social Security, and I think it No question. Many seniors in this country today live on $800 or $1,000 a month from Social Security. So let's stop complaining. We've got to take care of our own. But there are abuses. You know, there's a rotten apple in every barrel, sometimes by accident, sometimes by stupidity, sometimes unintentionally. Social Security considers Puerto Rico a problem in the sense that there are many disabled people in Puerto Rico because of a specific reason. And the reason is, if a person living in Puerto Rico does not speak English, that is considered a disability. If a person does not speak English, that is a disability and entitles that person to a pension from Social Security, regardless of age. In the last 3 years, there have been 218 such cases. Not a lot, you know, but big trees from little almonds grow. Little acorns, rather, grow. So, you have to understand, Puerto Rico is Spanish. It's an American place, but it's Spanish. They speak Spanish. All the time they speak Spanish. English is used very much also, but it's like a secondary language. I had a major involvement with a major hotel in San Juan many years ago. They had an environmental problem, a water problem, which I'm going to talk about later tonight, water problems. And I was brought down there for 2 weeks to straighten the situation out. Well, all legal documents, I don't know if you're aware of this, legal documents in Puerto Rico must be drawn in Spanish and in English. Can you imagine? They got to use two languages because that's the way it is. And I found that when I went to meetings and every place I went to the courtrooms and everything, they spoke Spanish. They spoke Spanish. And fortunately, my client had hired a law firm in San Juan to associate with me, and I always had someone there interpreting for me, a lawyer from the firm. So I don't see where the primary language in Puerto Rico is Spanish. Everybody speaks Spanish. There are some, apparently, who don't speak English, but it's like a dual language there. Why we need to say inability to speak English is a disability, okay? Which now brings me briefly to something that happened in Greece that was similar and I thought was stupid. Greece, as you know, has had a lot of financial problems. Their last couple of years, they seem to be coming out of it, but it could topple in the next 2 months. It's that bad there. One of the reasons Greece got in trouble economically is they gave everyone a pension. They had a reason for someone to be pensioned off for any reason, stupid reasons, as I'm going to show you in a moment. And where did the pension come from? The government paid the pension. The government paid a disability pension. The government paid your regular pension. Isn't this wonderful? So now, what happens? Pedophilia, a pedophile. It was decided about 3 years ago, court down there, we got stupid courts today, our courts, many of our courts, many of their courts, passed a law that said if you were a pedophile, that was a mental illness, and as such, under Greek law, was considered a disability, and a pedophile was entitled to a government pension for the rest of his or her life. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that ridiculous? We're paying those that screw around with our kids, we are paying them so they don't have to work and they can put more time into their endeavors. Wrong. And that's what Puerto Rico's doing, something stupid, and that's what Greece did, which was something stupid. And now I want to speak to you about the Indians. A certain Indian tribe, confederacy nation in this country, the Iroquois Confederacy. I was born and raised in Utica, New York. Utica, New York is upstate New York. My city is in the heart of the Mohawk Valley. The American Revolution, many battles were fought there, many significant battles. General Herkimer died in one of the battles, and everything went on there. We're part of the Revolution, and there were Indian tribes there, just as there were in the West. And the tribes, there were six tribes that constituted what was known as the Iroquois Confederacy, which also was nicknamed Six Nations because it had six tribes. There was the Mohawks. I lived in the Mohawk Valley. That's where they used to be. The Senecas, which were to the southwest of Utica, about 50 miles. Onondagas, this is the Syracuse area, 50 miles west of Utica. The Oneidas, 25 miles west of Utica. The Cayugas, about 75 miles southwest of Utica. This made up, plus another tribe I can't think of right now, made up the Iroquois Confederacy, Six Nations. There is a story out there, and it's not a new story. It has been around for a long time. What does it say? It says that our Constitution, the Constitution of the United States, is in many respects geared after or copied, in effect, from the Constitution of the Iroquois Confederacy. They had a constitution. They had a government. These six nations that made up a confederacy, that was their government. That was their United States. And big in their constitution, the Iroquois, was separation of powers, checks and balances. Sound familiar? Separation of powers, checks and balances. And this was all in writing. Now, it is said, and please understand, many historians say that what I am sharing with you right now is accurate. It's for real. There are a handful who say this is not. This never happened this way. I don't know who's right. I read as much as I could this week. Perhaps I did not read enough, but it seemed to me that balance favored those who thought this is the way things worked. It said that back then, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, and Thomas Jefferson were aware of the Iroquois Constitution and the way they operated, balance of power, balance of checks and balances, separation of powers. And Jefferson himself visited with the Indians many times to discuss their Constitution, okay? And John Rutledge from Virginia, it is said, during the Constitutional Convention, stood and read parts of the Iroquois Constitution to the Constitutional Convention. All I can say to you tonight, and I'm going to share with you, are the opening words of our Constitution and the opening words of the Iroquois Constitution, and you decide for yourself who is right, whether it is for real or it isn't. The United States Constitution opens, and I quote, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, promote the general welfare, etc., etc." The Iroquois Constitution begins, "We, the people, to form a union, to establish peace, equity, and order." A lot of similarity there. You decide. Want to go to Iceland now? Iceland. I love Iceland. Iceland's 320,000 people. They freeze their asses off. They're up north in the Atlantic, in the cold Atlantic, off the coast of off the eastern coast of Canada. The weather, their time is different because they're so far north. They actually have days 24 hours and nights 24 hours long, different times of the year. Can you imagine? The sun's up all the time for a few months, and then it's black and dark for 24 hours a day for several months. That's how it is up there. They're a hardy people, even though they're a small group, 320,000, they're hardy. They're opinionated, and they want things done correctly. I'm going to say now, the simple way of saying it is, Iceland has brass testicles. The people control. They don't let anyone screw around with them, including the banks. 2008, they got hit with the same disaster that hit us here. The banks on the mortgage situation, the banks with derivatives, hedge funds, investing stupidly in these things, creating new stocks, and the banks failed. Just as they did in this country, they failed in Iceland. And the government said, we've got to bail out the banks. We must bail out the banks. And you know what the people of Iceland said? No way! They caused the problem, and you want to take our tax dollars now to save their asses? No way! The people were so incensed. They changed the government. They threw out their constitution. They voted in a new constitution. They had bankers arrested, prosecuted, and jailed. Remember here in this country, too big to fail, too big to prosecute. They didn't buy that stuff up there in Iceland. They put them, they arrested them, they tried them, and they put them in jail, and many are still in jail to this day. And they're still indicting people today as they find new things happening with certain other people regarding banks. Now, this was 2008 when the disaster struck. What they did also in 2008, on December 10th, the new law appointed a special prosecutor to look into the banks, what had happened and why it happened, and if there was any wrongdoing to prosecute. And what did they find out? They found out that most of the bankers, the big bankers in Iceland, were leading, and I quote, playboy lifestyles. Isn't that nice? Playboy lifestyles, including mistresses. How terrible. But my point is, these guys were living big, okay? Now, you think that ended it, but it didn't. There's a new problem in Iceland today involving the banks that they're talking about. We have heard rumblings in this country about the same problem this past year. Not very much, but it's been out there, and you probably haven't heard of it at all. And it has to do with central banks. In our country, our central bank is known as the Federal Reserve. Now, you have to understand, in Iceland and the United States, the government creates money. They print the money. But the government does not disperse the money to the banks. They don't allocate which banks are going to get the money and how much. That's left to the central bank, which in the United States, again, is called the Federal Reserve. And the whole purpose, though, of central banks is they are supposed to take care of the depositors. They are supposed to take care of the people. They are supposed to make loans available to small businesses. They are supposed to charge fair interest rates, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we know in this country that's not the way it is, and in Iceland it isn't, and the people are now getting irritated big time about that. Because what's happening, the central banks in Iceland, the Federal Reserve, their counterpart in the United States, they're protecting the banks. They're not going after the banks, as is their obligation by law in each country. They are protecting instead the big banks to the detriment of the people, okay? I'll tell you how good things got up there, by the way. It was only 2% unemployment now. From 11%, it went to 2% up there in about 4 years in Iceland. So that's where it is now. They're going after the central banks, and I believe this year they're going to say, I don't know if they're going to need the central banks after this. The government's going to say, we print the money, we'll distribute it to the other banks. You don't, because the central bank is only a filtering system. It's like a middleman. The money goes through there. The government prints it. It floats through. The central bank decides where it's going. And you're really not going to be a need for a central bank. Is it going to happen here? I doubt it, because if it ever happens here that we take the power of allocation from the Federal Reserve, the big banks will go crazy. They got this thing locked up. They got it their way. No, and they're not going to let anything happen to it. Their lobbyists will be out in full force. It would take a congressional act to get this thing stopped and a president signing the bill. I don't see it ever happening in this country, which is a disgrace and a shame. Which now brings me to staying with the banks. I want to stay with the banks for a moment. The banks that were the worst back in 2008, who abused the American banking system, who screwed the American public, who were bailed out with American taxpayer dollars, American tax dollars, who they paid the money back, have survived big time, and to this day are not making loans to small businesses, are not making loans available to people, regular people, are making it difficult to get mortgage money for a house, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm talking about banks like Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, big banks. They were at the head of the debacle that occurred in 2008. Well, what are they doing? They're making all this money. They are paying some of their CEOs or their higher echelon employees in excess of $100 million per person per year. I don't even know of a sports athlete that makes $100 million a year. These guys are getting $100 million a year. And that's a lot of money. That's all I can say. More than many people would make in a lifetime. Anyhow, Bernie Sanders, the senator, the independent senator from Vermont, recently had a commission set up, and the commission reported to look into what are the banks doing with the profits they make. And it just reaffirmed what we already knew. These big banks are taking their profits and are putting the money in overseas accounts so they do not have to pay taxes on them. So here we are. We saved their asses. They're now making money, but they don't want to pay their taxes on that money. So they put it in an offshore account, which is legal, because over the years, our Congress has passed laws permitting this. They have succumbed. They have done the bidding of the banks through their lobbyists and attorneys. No question about this. And they do this to avoid paying taxes, which brings me to the big thing I believe in my talk tonight. And this bothers me tremendously. It's going to bother you. I'm laughing about it, too. And I'm talking about big banks, and I'm going to talk about water. You know, water. We're running out of water in this world. Look at what's happening in California. There are countries in Asia and Europe and especially in Africa that have water problems. And what's happening in California is terrible. It's going to take a long time, and it can hopefully be cured in a long time. I don't know. But I want to say this to you. Oil was the big money item in the 20th century. We all know it. Look at what we paid for a gallon of gasoline at the pumps. I am saying to you, and hear what I am saying, that water is the oil of the 21st century. You heard me. Oil is the water of the 21st century. And do you know why? One of the reasons why? Well, we don't have enough water. And we're getting more and more people on this earth, and there's less and less water for them to use. The big banks, the same banks, the J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, et cetera, HSBC out of England, they are buying, and the rich also, rich people, are buying all the water sources they can all over the United States. This just started last year. They're buying any place there's water available, they are buying it because they know there's going to be a limited quantity and a big demand, and they can charge any price they want for water. So they're doing this at an unprecedented pace. They're buying up these water sources worldwide, including, I said, the rich. We've all heard of T. Boone Pickens. He's the oil man. He comes across good on television. You can't help but like him. He's a regular guy. You'd like to have a beer with him, put your feet up on a table, and just bullshit it with him. Pass the time of day. He's that kind of a guy. Very, very wealthy. Billions. This is terrible. T. Boone Pickens, smart man, owns more water rights in the United States than any other person. T. Boone Pickens owns more water rights in the United States than any other person. Another thing that the corporations and the rich are trying to do with regard to water, and they're going to be moving into this area big, big time in the next year or two, they want to privatize water systems. Right now, most water systems are considered a utility. They're run by the municipality you live in. They're going to buy the public utilities, the water supply, the water companies. They're going to go out and privatize them and show they're going to save the community a lot of money by doing it. But in the final analysis, because banks are pigs, you can't argue with me on this point, banks are pigs. Their track record proves it, establishes it. They're going to raise the water is a cheap commodity to buy, except here in South Florida. It costs us a ton of money in Key West because we have to bring everything in from Miami. Be that as it may, they're going to charge people a hell of a lot of money. They're going to increase the price of water just as they increased the price of gasoline in the 20th century. Where are we now? All right. I want to talk about Monsanto quickly for a moment. Do you remember last year during the last presidential campaign, Romney thought he was speaking amongst a group of private, affluent supporters, and he made a comment somewhat to the effect that 47% of the people in this country didn't count or something. I don't remember what it was exactly, but it hurt him. And because it got out, someone in that group taped it and then gave it to the press. And it got out, and it hurt Romney bad. Well, Monsanto had a recent meeting of their big guys, okay? And the issue came up. Someone asked the question to whoever was speaking, who was a big employee, a top-level employee of Monsanto, what are we going to do with all these scientists and these people that come out? And they're saying that our product is GMOs are dangerous to health. Roundup's a carcinogenic. The speaker said, don't worry, boys. We have an entire department in Monsanto whose sole purpose is to discredit scientists and other people who make comments contrary to the good of Monsanto, who make comments that GMOs are bad, make comments that Roundup is a carcinogenic, and their whole purpose, discredit and defend, discredit those scientists and defend our scientists, what we're doing. Truth is immaterial, you notice? Truth is immaterial. And this got out last week. And it's interesting because it came at a time when Roundup is the pesticide that Monsanto invented. This was the pesticide of pesticides. It wasn't going to cause any illnesses. It got rid of the weeds. It made the crops grow faster, stronger, bigger. It just was good. And then we found out now as it's being used, Last week, the World Health Organization said no one should use it. It's a carcinogenic. Excuse me. Several South American and Central American countries threw Monsanto out of their country. They won't let them produce. They won't let them grow anything. And they also had Roundup problems. They said, we're not going to use that stuff. Our people got cancer from it. Putin. Now, I don't like Putin. I think he's an arrogant SOB. He's a troublemaker. But he just said last year, and I have to laugh because I agree with him on this. He said, because the only country, let me start it this way, the United States is the only country that gives all this support to Monsanto. No other industrial country in the world gives Monsanto the support that we are giving Monsanto in this country. Putin said, we're not going to let them grow it. We're not going to let them use their pesticides. We're not going to let them sell their products here. Let the Americans poison themselves if they want. It's not going to happen in Russia. And he threw Monsanto out. Okay, which now, what bothers me is when they have these scientists come out and say, well, that's not true what this fellow said because it really isn't a carcinogenic. And this isn't true because this study isn't accurate. They may not win Monsanto, but they will delay for years. They'll be in court for 5 to 10 years, screwing around with this case to establish that scientist was wrong. And in the meantime, their products, which may be unhealthy, are being sold in the marketplace, are being used, and are causing ill health and death to thousands of people. Which now brings me to an interesting thing. I have a hard time sleeping. I don't know if it's my age or what. And in the middle of the night, if I wake up, I turn on television. I turned on television last week. In the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, is an ad by Lowe's. You know Lowe's. It's like Home Depot. And it's saying, buy Roundup. We are having a sale on the pesticide Roundup. I could not believe it. Disgusting, terrible, arbitrary, a known carcinogenic. Buy it. We're having a sale. Well, that's my show for this week. I hope you have enjoyed once again, and I hope you'll be back again next week and tell your friends to join us. These are interesting topics, and I hope that to an extent they're food for thought for you because all these items have presented as I discovered them, food for thought for me. I look forward to being with you again next week. Remember, this show is archived on Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, and also on my Facebook Key West Lou page. It shows up archived immediately. So if you don't read it here, and many don't read it here, they read the archive portion, can read it. I wrote a book, The World Upside Down. If you like this show, buy my book, read it, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, The World Upside Down. If you don't like the show, don't buy the book. You will not enjoy it. Thank you again for joining me. I look forward to being with you next week once again.